Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We are continuing our look at a statement put out by the Mormon Church on December 6, 2013, a statement titled Race and the Priesthood. It is supposed to be an explanation as to why blacks or those of African heritage were not allowed to hold the priesthood for much of Mormon history. And though we feel that it's a good thing that they no longer hold to this restriction, it was lifted in 1978 by a revelation that supposedly was given to the leadership of the church at that time, we find some of the excuses that are being made to really be problematic. And so as we're going through this statement, we want to talk about some of these things that are said in this statement that tend to, in our opinion, trying to excuse the Mormon leadership of the blame that they originally put on God for this teaching, because that's really who they were blaming up until 1978. It was God. But now they're changing this and they're saying, no, it really wasn't God. It was really Brigham Young who did it. And they try very hard to get Joseph Smith out of the picture as well. So we want to talk about that today. Let's start off with that paragraph. It's the fourth paragraph in this statement, Eric.
It says, the church was established in 1830 during an era of great racial division in the United States. At the time, many people of African descent lived in slavery, and racial distinctions and prejudice were not just common, but customary among white Americans. Those realities, though unfamiliar and disturbing today, influenced all aspects of people's lives, including their religion. Many Christian churches of that era, for instance, were segregated along racial lines. From the beginnings of the church, people of every race and ethnicity could be baptized and received as members. Toward the end of his life, church founder Joseph Smith openly opposed slavery. There has never been a church-wide policy of segregated congregations.
Now, the part that I want to look at right now is where it says at the beginning, the church was established in 1830 during an era of great racial division in the United States. No argument. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
That was really one of the influences during that time period. But is that really a good excuse for why the Mormon Church held this particular policy? I've been reading a lot of articles on this on the web. I've been reading a lot of blog sites and a lot of articles that deal with this. One area where I learn a lot, it is in reading the comments that some of the people reading the very same article I'm reading have and put down regarding what's said in a given article. I see a perspective sometimes that I never thought of before, and plus some people also will put links to other articles that will clarify their positions and so forth. There was one response in this one article that I was reading, and he tackles this excuse, I call it, this argument that they use, that somehow the reason why blacks were not allowed to hold the priesthood was because of the prevailing prejudices in the country during that time, and that the leaders of the Mormon Church just happened to be caught up in the prejudice of that era. This is what this particular person writes, and I think he's spot on when he draws this analogy. He says this, according to Mormon scripture, God perceives all of time at once. He knows the past, present, and future. And then he cites, to back that up, Alma 40, verse 8 in the Book of Mormon, which says, all is as one day with God, and time only is measured unto men. Okay, sounds like a pretty good proof text so far, right? Okay, this is what he says. So if a man is really communicating with such a timeless being, why should we judge this man or his God according to historical norms? This argument makes sense for people who act independently of God, but not for men who, quote, walk and talk with God. Rather, this argument seems to be a carefully crafted excuse, which is what we call it too, for men who pretend to speak for God, but really don't. One final point, this writer says. While Mormon prophets were dispensing their racism, thousands of ordinary mortals were fighting racism. One need not have been a god or a prophet to fight racism. It has been done all around the globe, but it was not being done with the help of Mormon prophets, seers, and revelators.
Ooh, touche.
Yeah. He finishes by saying, even if one judges Mormon leaders according to historical context, they still fail to measure up as men of character and courage.
And I think that's exactly what we're talking about off air. And if you're going to say that that these Mormon leaders were just products of their time, then why do we even need them anyway if they're just going to go along with what the culture is saying at that time? I mean, you would expect, based on what I quoted yesterday from Joseph Smith History 119, that many Christian churches of that era would be doing the wrong thing. Well, we would expect that if Mormonism was the new revelation that we have now restored God's authority.
Well, yeah, because all of these Christian churches would have been part of the great apostasy.
Absolutely.
So you would think a Mormon would, especially a Mormon, would expect that kind of behavior. And we're not excusing that behavior. We think that kind of behavior within Christian circles is wrong, always has been wrong, and always will be wrong.
But even back then, there were Christians who were not doing those things. And so you can say, well, look at everybody was doing that. No, there were a number of Christians during those years who were fighting for equality. And even through the Civil War, if you go and look at some of the stories there, some of the Christians who were doing the Underground Railroad and all of the different aspects, it was understood by many that just because the culture was going along with it, well, what do we accept today in our culture that God doesn't like either, that many Christians have accepted too easily? So integrity says that you're going to do the right thing. And these Mormon leaders apparently went and did the wrong thing.
Well, when this writer, and the writer is Dwayne Anderson, who's I've read other things that he has done as well, he says that this type of heroism, if you will, was being done all around the globe, but it was not being done with the help of Mormon prophets, seers, and revelators. In fact, they were fighting against it.
Mm-hmm.
They were teaching against it. And so you're not going to look at the Mormon leadership up until 1978 as being heroes in this story. They certainly aren't. They're the problem in this story. And I think he makes a good point when he makes the comments that he did in this response, in this comment section, that really a Mormon can't use that as an argument. If you're going to say that your leaders are really in tune with God, unless you're going to say that that's what God really felt, and of course, they did. That's the point, folks. They did say that. They said that this was God's will that the black man be treated like this.
And it was a true doctrine.
It was a doctrine. And that's the whole point of why we find this statement to be so egregious. They're not only not putting the blame where their leaders said it should go, on the shoulders of God himself, but they're trying to make excuses for the bad decisions of these past leaders who perpetrated this idea. And we need to keep in mind that even though they're going to say it was Brigham Young, if you're going to say that, go ahead. Go ahead. I don't know how this helps.
Okay? No.
I really don't know how it helps. But all the leaders after Brigham Young taught the same thing.
Right up.
Why don't they, in this statement on race and the priesthood, list all the other leaders that taught some of these same things?
And we have many, many quotes to support what we're trying to say here. We're not just saying this off the top of our heads.
Oh, absolutely not. Now, we're going to continue looking at this because it goes on to say, It talks about Elijah Abel. Now, very quickly, we can only introduce this paragraph. We can't really get into a lot of detail on it, but go ahead.
It says, during the first two decades of the church's existence, a few black men were ordained to the priesthood. One of these men, Elijah Abel, also participated in temple ceremonies in Kirtland, Ohio, and was later baptized as proxy for deceased relatives in Nauvoo, Illinois. There is no evidence that any black men were denied the priesthood during Joseph Smith's lifetime.
See, notice what they're doing is they're trying to make excuses here and try to say, see, it wasn't Joseph Smith. It wasn't Joseph Smith. Well, I don't know if that's being fair either, because Joseph Smith certainly did have ideas, and he did teach some things publicly that certainly would have been embraced by the membership at that time, that, if nothing else, led to, if you're going to say it didn't start with him, but they would eventually lead to the banning of priesthood authority given to those of African descent. You cannot ignore this fact. And even though you might not want to admit that Joseph Smith was the one behind the actual priesthood ban, and even that is controversial, you can't excuse Joseph Smith entirely. You just can't. And I think it's important that we keep that in mind, that even though Joseph Smith, towards the end of his life, was opposed to slavery, he still held to some racist ideas that can't just be arbitrarily swept under the carpet and excused. Now, tomorrow, we're going to look at some statements made by a Mormon author by the name of Jesse Embry, wrote a book called Black Saints in a White Church. And this author is going to talk about the ideas that the early Latter-day Saints held. And though, yes, they did oppose slavery, but at the same time, this author states, they believed that blacks were mentally and morally inferior. And this is certainly an idea that was carried on among Mormon leaders clear on down to at least the middle of the 20th century. They were saying this openly, one of whom was the hero of 2014, Joseph Fielding Smith.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't want to forget what Joseph Fielding Smith had to say on this subject, because he gives us a lot of quotes that show that Smith was certainly caught up with this idea. But we're going to tackle this tomorrow.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. As with most Christian organizations, Mormonism Research Ministry depends on the generous financial support of friends like you. If you like what we do and how we do it, would you consider helping MRM meet its financial obligations? Merely go to our website, mrm.org. At the right, you'll see a donate button. Click there and follow the instructions. MRM is a Christian nonprofit 501c3 organization, and your gifts are tax deductible. Not only that, they are greatly appreciated. Thank you for your support of this ministry. How would you like to have Mormonism Research Ministry address your church on the subject of Mormonism? MRM's Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson have spoken at many Christian churches all over the country. You see, they can tailor their presentation to meet your church's needs. Anything from a one-day basic introduction to a weekend symposium. You'll find these PowerPoint presentations clear, articulate, and presented in a Christ-honoring fashion. So let your pastor know today that you'd like to have MRM speak at your church. Write us at contact@mrm.org.